Hi, I'm back.
You're back.
I have a phone. I accidentally disconnected when I meant to hit the mute on my speaker. Yeah.
Well, since it's just you and me, if you hit mute, it'll be pretty quiet.
Yes. How are you?
I am well.
Good.
How is work today?
Yeah, I'm so busy. I can't be worse than nothing. So, it was good.
Are you at the office or driving home?
No, at the office.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe opening a deprivation tank business.
That's a great idea.
The only ones around are Westchester and Philadelphia. And Doylestown seems like a good place to have such a business.
And these are just salt tanks, right?
Yes. I mean, I've never been in one, but...
I think I went in some of these tanks at Kripalu.
What was it like?
It was like being in a salt tank.
A lot of clamor over there.
Well, someone named John was, I don't know which John it is, but he must be in a crowded place.
Mm.
He just muted his mic.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know how well he... Oh, John says he's in a bar.
That's cool.
Yeah. You're on your phone?
Yes.
With a speaker?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have headphones with your phone?
Not with me right now.
Well, we'll just suffer the echo.
So you're getting an echo from my phone?
Yes. Because the microphone picks up a speaker. And so it echoes back. It sounds like someone from a lonely, dusty planet.
Well, it's kind of like that here in my office. So.
That's what I thought.
Yes. I bought some St. John's Wort today. I thought, maybe I need this, but I don't know if I'll...
You mean it will help you with your own mental and emotional states?
I have no idea. It was just kind of an impulse. Yeah, I think it's been dark lately. Maybe it's light. I don't know. So, it's hard to get rid of self sometimes. And when immersed in it, it's sort of like, you know, I want release. But when it's gone, it's like it never existed. That kind of overtaking, ruminative, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So I, you know. it comes and goes, but when it's there, it's hard to see the forest through the trees.
It's kind of a confidence game.
Yeah.
Mind has no shame.
Yeah. It has.
And
yes.
It will enroll you or any of its victims in elaborate ruse. The confidence game is a double entendre. Once we take the risk to stop placing any confidence in mind, its capacity to seduce diminishes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, it whips up a storm.
It does indeed.
That's his job.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that whole idea of not getting seduced, I don't know if that's in the cards for this entity, you know, but who knows.
Not being seduced?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the it's the heart of the yoga.
I don't know if it's good, you know, these ideas, these ameliorative, like if it's better to believe in them or better not to believe in them sometimes.
Paul Hederman is an enthusiastic advocate for remedies of all kinds, herbal and new age, cosmic, energetic, body work, the list goes on. Our dear guru Harinam in Vermont, who prefers to remain unnamed, somewhat like Voldemort, he was an allopath. He despised New Age cosmic interventions. So you see, amongst the enlightened, a lot of personality and a lot of preference.
So I'm sorry, he was an allopath, but he didn't believe in those things. Isn't that what they do?
His philosophical approach to people's health and psychiatric challenges was always allopathic and conservative. He was not fond of naturopathic, New Age ameliorations. I mean, it took a while to convince Peter Brown that chemtrails are real. He may still not be convinced.
What do they think they are?
I'm afraid to ask. They must be contrails that we never noticed back in the 60s when the skies were clear.
Well, maybe it is just hysteria. It seems like everything is hysteria.
Yes. That's what we have.
I guess that the man who's on the roof killed himself.
Oh, the homicidal maniac?
Yes.
I wish he had done that before he killed everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The first bullet should be for you. Interesting sounds.
Interesting.
You see, mind cannot function without attention. It's unreal.
See, how's that? Is that worse?
Oh, that's terrific.
What was that?
That's John turning his mic on from the bar. So you take the risk to turn and tune your attention to something present in your reality. That could be drawing. Or writing a love letter. Or cleaning something. And with little effort, the mind that craves and robs your attention will simply starve out. It's not telling you the truth in the first place. I think that's the, or let's say a considerable demonstrative element of the yoga of intelligence, is to simply discard what the mind is trying to convey.
But even that is sort of, what you say is true. A myth, right? Like the idea that you're going to decide to do drawings, that, that there's no decider, then. Can you really decide to do that?
That's the discovery that you made. See, your presence is as real, or arguably more real, than the drivel of the mind. And you possess the miraculous capacity to rest, to feel, to notice the quality of presence. You can do that just as easily as you can pay attention to the shouting match in your head. Listening to the mind, or what it has to say, is not purely involuntary. So the answer is yes, you have and can exercise control and choice and preference and intelligent interest.
I don't want to be a naysayer, but I guess sometimes I think it just has to run its course.
Of course.
And then the dust settles and the clouds clear off. And
yeah, that's as good an approach as any.
Yeah.
Chill out and suffer. There's nothing particularly wrong with affliction.
Yeah, in the grander scheme of things, there's definitely nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, before we become impatient with what's appearing in mind, we are already, let's say, suffering from a grand misdiagnosis. So what the mind is doing or not doing is only afflictive if the grand diagnosis is already in play. You could say for an awakener, if there are any, the grand misdiagnosis has unraveled. The presumption of durability, separative consciousness, a life lived, bounded, bookended by thoughts and dreams, this grand diagnosis has fallen apart. That's the discovery one makes. It's not a shallow or particular discovery. It's the unraveling of the grand misdiagnosis. The Hobbit movie is playing at the IMAX.
Oh, yeah? You plan to see it, or?
Oh, yes.
The guy in it was on Saturday Night Live Saturday night.
Yes. Yes, Martin Freeman. Friedman.
Is it Freeman or Friedman? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I like the Hobbit version of The Office they had on. Did you see it?
I don't remember that episode.
Well, I guess he was on the British version of The Office, so they did a version of The Office that had Hobbit characters. Did you see the other? There's like a first part to The Hobbit, right?
Yes.
Was that a good version of the movie? I mean, of the story?
I don't remember the book so well. And it was, sufficiently entertaining. I think the dragon stole the show.
Yeah, they do that, those dragons.
Yeah, that's why they get the big bucks.
I'm always lacking any kind of content when I'm online, but then if I listen to this on a recording, I have great things to say, but it's too late.
You can always reply to something that happened 3 weeks ago. And we'll just pick it up.
Well, usually it's when I'm listening to the recording and there's nobody there. but by now I've forgotten it.
Yeah.
Has like a comment section to see what other people have to say about the podcast.
Oh,
so after the fact, you know how Rick Archer does that with Bad Gap. You can read comments below.
Whoa, most of them kind of suck, don't they?
Well, ours won't suck, you know.
Our comment. Don't
we're
suck.
So fabulous that people will just say fabulous things.
You know, it's tricky that way. When an event is occurring firsthand, you know, that's where its vitality is. When you permit the muggle mind to comment after the fact, it's like the train has already left the station. The vitality of this exploration is live. You know, here's where you can see the effervescent and confusing nature of mind with the most accuracy. Teachings that masquerade as teachings have a limited utility. Then it becomes an opinion fest.
That's true, yeah. But I mean, you know, the Facebook, I'm not saying it correctly, but Facebook has that opportunity. You know, people comment on there, there's responses.
Yes.
How is that different?
Yes, Facebook is just as useless that way. Yeah, it's no different. You know, you write something, you try to convey, you know, a mood or evoke an observation. And when something's read, you know, the arrow hits its mark. Once someone responds, it's an artifact. It's a good way to look at mind the same way. Everything appearing in mind is an artifact. That's how shallow it is. It's amazing to see how easily we are pushed around by Artifacts.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah. It's fantastic.
It's like in IMAX.
You are appearing to yourself in IMAX Melody. You are the IMAX climax.
And then when it's over, it's like, I can't believe I got so caught up in that movie.
Yeah.
But then there's part two, and part three, and if it's Rambo, there's part five. And...
Oh, yeah, there's no question. Son of Kong. Even Godzilla had offspring.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful movie called Destroy All Monsters. Godzilla had a son, young son, maybe a tenth of his adult father's or adult mother's height, with a cherubic, round, moon-like face. And he blew lethal, radioactive smoke rings . They took out a evil monster called Ghidra, who was a fire-breathing, wing-flapping, three-headed dragon.
Wow.
Yep, if it's raining, see if you can crack open some Baileys and sit back and watch Destroy All Monsters.
I guess it's pretty entertaining stuff.
Yeah. It's about as entertaining as the stuff appearing in your mind.
Do all the monsters get destroyed?
Only the bad ones. Good monsters are immortal. Get caught up because we think we have to bust a move.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the what mind is trying to convince us of are all the wrong moves we've either made, are making now, or are sure to make in the future. the dead end of Bust a Move.
Like in England, they used to have those gas ovens where people would kill themselves by sticking their head in, and when they outlawed that specific type of gas oven, like, suicide went down drastically. That's it. What's the word I'm looking for? Went down, anyway. So.
Yeah. I think the chill out and let it exhaust itself is a prudent response. It's like you don't build a pump station around a mirage. We have to somehow be inspired to get to the core of present experience. We have to be willing to see through. What the mind is imagining. And interfere, you can say, with what it's trying to convey. Mind can only mess with a false and heretical misunderstanding of being. It has no sway over the reality of you.
Yeah, it's pretty flimsy.
Yes. You are, as a extruded entity, very flimsy. And, what's the word if we're sexually permissive? If we hang out a lot, right? So we're, I don't know, indiscriminate is not what I was looking for.
Promiscuous?
Yes.
Bloody?
Promiscuous is more generic.
Yeah.
So, my mind can only afflict a promiscuous sense of being. Maybe I'm this. Maybe I'm that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling that way. I'm feeling this because. I'm feeling that because. But I don't really know how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling that way, what exactly I'm feeling.
Yeah, next thing you know, you slept with the whole fleet of sailors, and you're, like, ashamed. Like, why did I go to bed with all those sailors?
Yes.
I didn't even like those guys.
Yes. It's the same thing. Thankfully, without the consummations.
Yeah, without the STDs.
Yeah, I think that's true. Listening or suffering from what the mind says is like sleeping around with sailors. And that's right, gender non-exclusive.
Yes, yes. You feel cheap and dirty, and like afterwards, and embarrassed that you got caught up in something so insane.
Yeah. Well, it always, you have at your beck and call your present experience. You don't have anything else. In order for mine to get under your skin, you have to imagine. That's why I refer to it as a grand misdiagnosis. That you have something other than your present experience. Mind afflicts you by convincing you that you had a past. It afflicts you by interfering with the sanguinity of your future. And so it distracts you from your present. Strange, but true. And we're not suggesting or implying that anyone should do anything about themselves. Once you grab the baton and bust a move, you're setting yourself up as an afflictable mirage. You see, if I do something about myself, I'm participating in the myth of durability. We can see. We can feel. We can apply miraculous intelligence. And skillful vocabulary to self-reveal. But we don't have to do anything about ourselves.
Who was the guy who always said the sky is falling, the sky is falling?
We have to end up in a narrow gauge. To convince ourselves of anything. It makes sense that we almost prefer affliction over vacuity. But then again, I may be speaking to myself.
I'm not sure. Is my mic on?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay. That was all. Tommy, can you hear me for a second?
Tommy, can you hear me?
How come we don't like vacuity?
That's a really good question. We like sleep. It's hard to say if we like deep sleep. Because we don't typically have much recollection or consciousness of it.
we like it in controlled doses.
Yeah.
Or so-called controlled doses.
Yes. The imagination of controlled doses. You know, everything that's included in human, even exotic experience, is accompanied by temporality, a certain inherent dissatisfaction. The intensity, duration, repeatability of exotic experience. Not just ecstatic experience or hallucinogenic experience, but all experience is fleeting and evaporating. But as long as we associate with the human bandwidth of conscious experience, we live in confusion. What most people, if there are any people, want to do is remedy the inalienable confusion that accompanies human bandwidth. Relatively few. Hi, Stephen. Relatively few reach for the stars, for the transhuman revelation.
Well, I guess they don't know it's there, maybe.
Well, they don't matter as much as you.
Well, you mentioned them.
I was just trying to let everybody off the hook.
It's weird how violent yesterday was. I mean, maybe it wasn't as, maybe it's always that violent, but maybe because it was local. The shootings around here and then in Delaware County and I guess in Australia, but it just seemed like yesterday was a weird day.
In Pakistan as well.
In Pakistan as well, right? There was a big shooting at a school there. How tragic, yeah. Like, what is it that happens, like, globally, like in such an intense way?
People that study astrology would lend their explanation. People that manufacture weapons would lend their explanation.
too, you know, when you hear things about, like, if your friend's friend goes on a diet, you're likely to go on a diet, too, even if you don't know that friend, you know, that, or happy people live in close geographical
distance
to each other. It's like there's something happening and you don't even know it, and yet, I guess it speaks to that whole no free will kind of thing.
Well, Rupert, like Sheldrake's insights into morphic resonance certainly affects human behavior.